Well, if you've been with us these Sunday evenings, you know we're reading through 2 Timothy, and we're into chapter 2 and reading from verse 14. Again, if you're familiar with the letter, this is Paul's last letter. He's sitting in a Roman prison. Timothy's in Ephesus with the concerns of the church there, and Paul's doing everything he can here really to encourage Timothy and those with him to be willing to be faithful to the gospel, to be willing even to suffer for the gospel, and to be true and faithful servants. That's his concern. So we're reading in 2 and 14. So let's listen together to God's word. Keep reminding them of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It's of no value and only ruins those who listen. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have wandered away from the truth. They say that the resurrection has already taken place, and they destroy the faith of some. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription: "The Lord knows those who are His." And everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. In a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for noble purposes, and some for ignoble. If a man cleanses himself from the latter, he will be an instrument for noble purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. Amen. May God bless to us the reading of his word.
We want to thank God for the evening service, where we are continuing with our series on 2 Timothy. Today we are on chapter 2, verse 14 to 21. We learn from this letter that Paul was passionately writing to Timothy. His concern was to safeguard the truth. The truth was under threat, especially according to Paul. Paul was thinking about the fact that he was at the end of his life. So he was afraid that false teachings could spread after he would have gone. So he wrote this letter to Timothy passionately. You can feel the passion from the words of the letter, that he was so passionate about what he was writing to Timothy, his son. Timothy was a young man converted by Paul on one of his missionary journeys. Timothy's grandmother and mother were Christians. And Timothy was once a co-worker. At one point in time, Acts chapter 16, verse 3, shows us or tells us that Timothy was a co-worker with Paul. He joined Paul and Silas on their journey to Philippi when they ended up in jail. The Bible does not tell us where Timothy remained when Paul and Silas were arrested. But it only tells us that Timothy joined them on their journey. They asked Timothy to join them on that journey because Timothy was well thought of by the brothers and sisters in Lystra and Iconia and Iconium. as we read from Acts chapter 16, verse 2. So Timothy was a young man who was approved by people. He was approved by his brothers and sisters with whom he was worshiping. They approved that he could go with Paul and Silas on their journey, on their missionary journey. So our theme tonight is an approved worker. Be an approved worker. We should be approved workers of God. There is a verse from the passage that we read which says, do your best to present yourself as one approved of God. Do your best, study hard. Do your best to present yourself as an approved worker of God. There is a suggestion in the scriptures that Timothy was by nature reserved. He was timid. According to certain scriptures, Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 10, he says to the church, if Timothy comes, see to it that he has nothing to fear. Make him feel at home, for he is doing the Lord's work as I am. He was encouraging the church to help this timid, reserved young man to do the work of God like what Paul was doing. So we see even in this letter, Paul encouraging Timothy, telling him that we did not receive a spirit of timidity to be afraid again, but we received a spirit of adoption with which we refer to God as Abba, as Father, as our source. He was encouraging this timid and reserved young man who was supposed to take over ministry from where Paul had left it. So from the passage that we read this evening, verse 14 starts by saying, keep reminding them of these things. An approved worker of God is so focused that he or she keeps reminding people, he keeps reminding the church, he keeps reminding people of the things that Paul is referring to here. We would wonder what things he was referring to, unless we read the few verses before the passage, and we find verse 8 saying, remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, a descendant of David. Paul said, that is my gospel. I have a simple gospel that I keep reminding people of. So the concern of Paul to Timothy was that keep reminding people of these things, the simplicity of the gospel. Keep reminding them. An approved worker of God will keep reminding people of these things. He was like saying, you are in an environment which looks for arguments. You are in a philosophical context where people seek arguments. But you should just keep reminding them of these things, this simple message. Remember Jesus Christ. The message of Jesus Christ should be your message if you are to be an approved worker of Jesus. So an approved worker of Jesus Christ should keep reminding people of these things. There are not many things that need people to be reminded of. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, a descendant of David. That was the simple message. Now, in the environment that Timothy was supposed to work, it was philosophical. People loved arguments. People loved to argue. They would say, if we are to believe you, you should tell us some kind of a sophisticated theory, sophisticated philosophy, so that we can believe you. You should win an argument. Now Paul was telling Timothy that Don't waste your time with arguments. Don't quarrel with people. Quarreling can only affect those who listen. Quarreling will be done with the motive of trying to win arguments. So Paul was saying to Timothy, your aim, your focus should not be to win arguments, but to win souls for Christ. If you get yourself involved in quarreling, in arguments, you might win arguments sometimes, but that is not your work. Your work is to win souls for Christ. So keep reminding them, remember Jesus Christ raised from the dead, a descendant of David. That is the simple message. You don't need to have some sophisticated theology. God has made the good news so simple that anyone can preach it. You don't need to know some technical terms like eschatology or some other difficult words. You just need to remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, a descendant of David. Keep reminding people this message. This message will never be boring to people. It retains its power. No matter how much you repeat it, it will still lead to salvation. So Paul was saying, never tire to remind people of this. He went on to say, an approved workman need not to be ashamed. He himself had written to the church at Rome, say in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, saying, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is God's method of bringing salvation to anyone who believes. This message was preached first to the Jews and then to the Greeks. So Paul would not be ashamed to repeat the message about Jesus Christ. So he was giving advice to his son to continue reminding people of this. So he tells him in chapter 2, the whole of chapter 2, he speaks in metaphors. There are 7 metaphors that he tells Timothy to look at or to consider. He says, you are a son. You should remember that you are God's son. A witness of Jesus Christ operates as a son. So as a son of God, Timothy, you are supposed to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You could be reserved. You could be timid. You could be shy. But be strong in the grace that we have in Jesus Christ. That is your strength. He went on to say, if you are a witness, if you are to remind these people of these things, you should do. Remember that the kingdom or the space that you are operating in is like a battlefield. So you should be like a soldier. Don't be entangled in civilian affairs. You are a soldier, Timothy. You are in a battlefield. You are in an adversarial environment. Don't entangle yourself in civilian affairs, otherwise you'll be defeated. So an approved worker should be like a soldier in the war, a soldier in a battlefield. He also said, Timothy, you are like an athlete. You should train hard. You should discipline yourself and follow the rules of the game. Otherwise, you will be disqualified and win no prize. Every believer should remember that we are in a race. God has given us gifts that seem to mark our track, how we should serve him. We have tracks, each and every one of us has his or her track. along which you should operate. We have different gifts with which we should serve. He has marked tracks into which we should run as athletes. In a marathon, we should make use of the gift that God has given us. We are like athletes. Train, make use. I remember David telling us when we were starting this series, where he was emphasizing the fact that use it. Use the gift. Run. You are an athlete. We should run. Discover your gift and then run in your track. Save according to your giftedness. You are an athlete. An approved worker should run, should operate like an athlete. Train hard in your gift. Be disciplined. There are certain disciplines that you should observe in order to be effective in your gifting. There are rules of the game so that you are not disqualified until you win the race. You should also operate like a farmer. A farmer. Timothy was to work extremely hard and be patient with the hope of harvesting. I grew up in a rural area in Zimbabwe, which was a district which was considered or known to be drought-stricken. When it's a drought-stricken district, it means it receives very little or no rainfall. But we were doing crop production in that dry place. So we would plant the seeds every season in the hope that rains would come. We would not irrigate them. We would be looking up into the sky for the rains to come. So sometimes we would plant the seeds for 5 seasons and only harvest once. But there was no season that we would not plant. We would continue planting the seeds because the farmer is patient. The farmer always hopes for a harvest. In Shes Church, we are planting the church at Milton of Leys. Sometimes it looks hopeless. Sometimes we gather and it seems like we are not having any harvest. A farmer is patient. Keep putting that effort. God will bless it. Even in times when it does not look profitable, keep planting the seed. This is God's work. We should operate like farmers. Then today, the figure of speech is that of an approved workman. Timothy was to handle the word of God correctly. He was to handle it correctly. He was supposed to be an approved worker. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. You should handle the word of God correctly. He was advised not to involve himself in worthless arguments. He was supposed to only remind the people of the message about Jesus Christ. I said the context that Timothy was working in was a context where arguments were common, quarreling was common. Every culture has its own dangers in ministry. Now, we said the concern of Paul was that false teachings could come. So Timothy was supposed to guard against false teaching. He was supposed to safeguard the truth. In every context, there are false teachings that apply in that cultural context. Paul would sometimes, in his first letter to the Corinthians, he said, the Greek want a sign. The Greek seek wisdom. The Jews are looking for a sign. The Jews looked for a sign. The Jews wanted miracles. The Greeks would look for wisdom. So I was just thinking about false teachings that could apply in a context where people are philosophical and in a context where people are looking for miracles. I happen to come from Africa, where the worldview, the African worldview, is referred to by theologians as an enchanted worldview, where people are looking for signs. The African context is just like the Jewish context during Christ's time. The Jews were looking for signs. Africans are looking for signs even today. That is the context, because they want miracles. They want healing miracles. They want prosperity miracles. So they are looking for signs. So the false teaching that is applicable in Africa has to do with the performance of miracles. It has to do with the false prophets. So we have so many false prophets in Africa. We have churches which are operating falsely. We have white garment churches. I haven't seen them here. They have said, we are no longer reading the Bible. We get the message directly from the Holy Spirit and to our church leaders, and they will tell us. So they said the Bible is stale. It's no longer relevant. We have to get new message direct from the Holy Spirit. So they gather and they listen to their church leaders. If you were in Africa and a member of the, if this gathering was a gathering of that white garment church, we could sit here waiting for the Holy Spirit to speak, and you will be looking unto me and saying and waiting for to hear what the Spirit has said. And I could maybe say, the Spirit has said, we are not going home tonight. We are not going back home. We will spend the whole night here while I continue to listen to the Spirit. So you might have come here having told your children or those at home that I will be back in an hour's time. Then the Spirit comes and says, you are not going back. So that is false. That is how false teachings can affect people contextually. I know here you will not accept that, but there are false teachings which are relevant for these places also. This context is philosophical. This is the Greek context. It is philosophical, where people, where when you are preaching, you have to appeal to the mind. You have to appeal, you have to make a very convincing argument. This is a philosophical context where you have to guard the truth, because there are false teaching also in this context, which are developed by people when they are trying to make the gospel acceptable. They try to make it accommodative. They try to make the gospel inclusive. They try to add a little so that the message is acceptable. So they distort the truth to make it less offensive, to make the good news less offensive. Timothy was advised that you should keep reminding people of these things. Keep talking about Jesus Christ, no matter how offensive that message is. Don't try to add or subtract anything from the message. Don't try to make it more accommodative. An approved worker will not do that. Keep the message pure. Remind people of these things. Keep reminding them. Keep saying the message about Jesus Christ. Don't try to dilute it. Don't try to distort it so that it becomes less offensive. Don't try to be more accommodative. Don't try to be more inclusive. Because once the truth is no longer fully the truth, it becomes destructive. So false teaching destroys people. Paul mentioned the examples of people who had wandered from the faith. These were Hymenaeus and Philetus. He said they wandered from the faith. They have wandered from the faith because they were teaching strange doctrines, attacking the core Christian doctrine of the resurrection of the body. They were saying the resurrection has already happened. It has already occurred. They were attacking the core Christian doctrine of the resurrection of the body, destroying the faith or the hope that we are going to be given new immortal bodies. We are going to be given bodies which are not stained by sin. So they were destroying the core hope, the core Christian hope. What we are still, they were destroying the not yet of Christianity. We know we are already saved in Jesus Christ, but there is still the not yet, that which we have not acquired, the resurrected body. So Hymenaeus and Philetus were trying to reason out the core doctrine, saying when you receive Jesus Christ, when you repent, the resurrection would have occurred. They were teaching falsely. So they were given as an example of people who had wandered from the faith due to being involved in useless arguments, not sticking to the message of Jesus Christ. So they had diluted the message. So we find false teaching in so many places. Some people could be saying now Christ is no longer the only way of salvation. He is just one of the many ways. When I was doing my studies in the Netherlands, we would do one module was theology of religions. So there was a question that we were given, is there any need to continue upholding the finality of Christ since we have so many religions? We should just believe that God can work out salvation in all the other religions so that Christ is not the final way of salvation. That is trying to be accommodative. That is trying to be inclusive and advancing a false teaching that then affects the church like gangrene. Paul said the false teaching would develop like gangrene. When I was preparing for this message, I thought of maybe bringing in images of gangrene, but I thought maybe some people could be of a nervous disposition. They might not like to see it, how gangrene affects people. That is what Paul was talking about. He said false teaching affects people. It kills. Gangrene is a disease where body tissues die because of lack of blood flow. Am I right, doctor? because of lack of blood flow, then the body tissues die because of lack of the blood, no blood flow, or it can be caused by serious bacterial infection. So Paul said, godless chatter, unnecessary quarreling about fanciful theories or theologies can affect and kill some people's faith. Don't be involved in that. You should remain focused about the message that you are supposed to remind people about. Talk about Jesus Christ. Avoid godless chatter. So we find so many people trying to dilute the message. This is what we hear in discussions about same-sex marriages, where people try to dilute it and make it less offensive. But keep reminding. An approved worker will keep reminding people about the truth of the gospel. Be an approved worker. Because others wandered away from the truth because they tried to dilute the message. So we should guard against against, sorry for saying against, we should guard against the against error. We should depend upon the Holy Spirit. We should be familiar with the truth on our own. We should read the Bible on our own. We should sit under sound Christian Bible teachers. I thank God because I am sitting under David. He is a sound Bible teacher. So I thank God for putting me under him. You should also sit under sound Bible teachers so that you guard yourself against false teaching. But then how do you discern that this is a sound Bible teacher? You need the Holy Spirit for discernment. The Holy Spirit, you feel it that this teaching is wrong. So you should be sitting under a sound Bible teacher for you to be an approved worker. So you should be an approved worker who avoids godless chatter, who avoids false teaching. Paul went on to encourage Timothy by giving an illustration of a wealthy home. He said, in a wealthy home, there are different types of utensils. There are golden utensils and silver utensils. They are clay, those utensils made of clay, and those utensils made of wood. Those made of silver and gold are special utensils. They are special vessels. They are used for special occasions. Those used made of clay and wood, they are ordinary vessels and they are used for ordinary events or for everyday use. So Paul says, but there is a possibility in this wealthy house, in this wealthy home, that some dishonored vessels can be promoted. We know that in our kitchens, if a cup is made of clay, it remains like that. But in God's house, vessels can change. Vessels can change, according to Paul. Vessels could change from being clay to silver or gold, from being dishonorable to being honorable. We are saved by the grace of God. But when it comes to working in the kingdom of God, there are those who are working dishonorably and those who are working honorably. So Paul says to Timothy, if you cleanse yourself of all these things, I think he was talking about cleansing yourself of unnecessary arguments, godless chatter, avoiding false teachings, you can become a vessel unto honor. You can become a vessel unto honor. If you keep reminding people of the message of Jesus Christ, you are a vessel unto honor. You are an honorable vessel. If you haven't been doing this, if you have been involved in godless chatter, you are just making yourself a vessel unto dishonor. So when we have time for coffee and tea in the gathering hall, make sure that your chatter is godly. Avoid godless chatter. How do we evaluate our chatter? William Buckley tried to come up with a criteria by which we can evaluate our chatter. He wrote that if at the end of our talk we are closer to one another and to God, then all is well. If at the end of our talk, we are closer to one another and to God, then all is well. But if after the talk, we have created barriers between one another and we have left God, then all is not well. Godly chatter should draw us nearer to our fellows and to God. That is how the criteria that he used. I would agree with him because I remember when we were still at seminary at the theological college with my friends. At lunchtime, we would go somewhere where we would pray. We would go for prayer. On our way to that place where we would pray, we would be talking about our teachers, our lecturers. We would be saying that teacher is bad, is not good. He did this and she did this, talking negatively about them. But after prayer, it would become very difficult to be involved in that talk again. So it seemed like before getting into prayer, it was easy for us to do or to be involved in godless chatter. After prayer, we would feel guilty to do that. We would feel instead of talking ill about them, we would rather pray for them. We would love them, like the message which was there in the morning, praying for our enemies, praying for those who mistreat us. So we should be approved workers tonight. That is what I wanted to share with us, with the church tonight. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We read these inspired words that you helped the Apostle Paul to put down for us, the Timothy of today. We want to thank you that we see and can feel the passion that he had for the church to safeguard the truth, to keep reminding the church, to keep reminding the world about Jesus the Christ, a descendant of David, who was raised from the dead, to keep talking about the power of his resurrection, to keep reminding people, to keep repeating this story of salvation. Help us as your church to remain true to the good news of the kingdom of Jesus the Christ, to keep saying it, to be true witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ, furnishing the world with the evidence that Jesus is alive. Make us approved workers, O Lord, so that we are effective missionaries in the world, keeping reminding your church, your people, about the things, the story of salvation, the eternal story, the story that will never lose its power. If we continue repeating any other story, people will say it's monotonous. But thank you for this story that we can keep repeating, and it remains powerful. It is still the same method for salvation. So as approved workers of God, help us not to be ashamed to share it in this secular context, in this philosophical context, in this scientific context. Help us to be approved workers so that we might be able to overcome all the unnecessary arguments and quarreling that is in the world. Thank you, Father, for this message tonight. We pray for all this in Jesus' name. Amen.